Blog Talk Radio.
Like to tell you, I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys. And we're going to try our damnedest to have a great show today, okay? We're going to try our damnedest to have a great show. I'm happy to see the NFL Combine has started. It's really, you know, not the whole, you know, all of the speculation and prognostications and guessing has amped up because everyone's live now. You know, at first it was just rumors of what is to come, who's switching and who's trading and who's moving and who's coming and who's going. It was all rumors. Well, you know, we're still in that rumor mode right now, but, you know, it's good to see these young men get out there and you know, show their skills and, you know, well, really they're just showing their athleticism right now. You know, nothing deep has really taken place as of yet, but, you know, we're early in the effort, okay? We're early in the effort, so we just got to give it a minute and, you know, by by Tuesday, you know, everyone would have worked out and, you know, participated in drills and all that. So we'll have a better understanding of what's going on, you know. I can't tell y'all how happy I am to see any form of real football. I don't care if they just running in t-shirts and shorts. It's a resemblance of real football. So I appreciate it. Trust, I really, truly appreciate it. Can't get enough. And you know, we're going to talk about this combine. It's a couple of things, of course. You know, I wouldn't be DMV Kale if I didn't find something that I didn't agree with or don't agree with or like about this process. You know, we'll get into that a little bit later on. I hope you guys had a great Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm praying and hoping for a great Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and back on Tuesday, if I may. Okay, on today's episode of Kale's Corner, we will be looking at the NBA East and West Conference leaders. We're going to look and see who are leading, and also which player looks the most poised to lead his team to the final. You know, there's a lot of guys who are playing good ball right now, so we're going to take a look at who's really, you know, somebody that needs to be watched, that we're not really paying attention to, someone who's sneaking up and grabbing the attention of reporters and fans. You know, we're going to discuss that. The NFL Combine, as I already stated, it all has started in Indy, y'all. It's all started in Indianapolis, and that stadium is a beautiful stadium that they have in Indy. You know, I've never really truly, you know, looked at it, because most of the time when it's on TV, there's a game on it, and if you're like me, you've been more interested in the game that's on than the stadium that they're playing it in. But that's a great looking stadium that they have there in Indy. And I want to ask you guys, which positions are drawing the most attention for you? You know, I mean, we all know what our team needs. Everyone knows what their team needs. So we're going to discuss, you know, your biggest need with your team. What do you believe or think that your team is or should be in search of, right? All right. And we'll also take the time to discuss a few positions. Also on Tuesday, we started a conversation that we really couldn't dive into like we wanted to with Cam Newton and the situation that went on at his 7-on-7 training camp. So we're going to take a moment to discuss that as well, you know. The Washington football team, guys, it looks like we'll be coming back to RFK. Well, let's say this. It looks like the decision to come back has been made a little clearer what they're going to do. So You know, we'll take a moment and discuss that. And what does that mean? You know, is that a great thing, or you know, is that just going to be, I'll believe it when I see it? You know, a lot of these times, man, especially here in Washington, they'll tell us something is happening, something is going on, and the next thing you know, the total opposite happens or goes on. So, yeah, I tell you one thing, being a Washington sports fan has really given me all type of patience with sports, and it's really given me that, well, we'll wait and see attitude or mentality when it comes to these sports, all right? All right, guys. Tales Corner, we're keeping it real, is our only real. You know what I'm talking about? That's all we do is keep it real here, y'all. That's what we do, all right? So we're going to take a quick break, quick break, and then we're going to come back to the NBA East West, all right? All right, we'll be right back. 563-999-3782. That's the number. We'll be right back. Take you there. She says she know a place, huh? All right. I want to know that place, too. I want to know that place, too. NBA East, okay? Right now in the NBA East, we have the Celtics at number one with a 46-12 loss record, 46 wins, 12 losses. We have the Cavaliers at number two with a 38-win, 19-loss record. We have the Milwaukee Bucks at number three with a 38-win, 21-loss record. We have the New York Knicks, at number four with a 35-24 win-loss record. We have the Miami Heat at number five with a 32-25 win-loss record. We have the Philadelphia 76ers at number six with a 33-25 loss record. We have the Orlando Magic at number seven with a 33-26 win-loss record. The Indiana Pacers, number eight, with a 33-26 win-loss record. The Chicago Bulls, number nine, with a 27-31 win-loss record. And rounding up the East at number 10 are the Atlanta Hawks with a 26-32 record. I like this list. For one, everybody is in a position that they've earned. It's nobody that's on this list for the East that you might say they don't belong or they shouldn't be there. It's faulty. It's not right. This man, the third. To me, it's a good look. The list is a good look, so, you know, I'm with it all the way. Let's see. Yeah, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything. And anyway, you can't. It would be crazy to try and move this thing around and put it to your liking. These guys are in the position that they've earned with their wins and losses. So we can't take that away from them. Let's go to the phones. What's up, Lou? How you be, Lou?
If the Knicks are getting better, I'd be feeling a lot better. But they've been a slump lately since the All-Star break. And this displeases me.
Right. Well,
you had a great January, but in February you just dropped off like a rock. And what's worst of all is that they lost their protest against what happened back in the game this past month when they should have won against the Rockets. But then again, that doesn't really happen often where you win the protest anyway. But they should have won that game. So it's been very displeasing in the New York area right now. Not just for both our teams, because both our teams right now are in a major slump. And as a Knicks fan, I'm not happy with that.
Yeah. At least your team has done more to give you some type of joy or happiness. My team has done nothing. They've given me no joy whatsoever at all.
Hey, it could
I'm
be worse
not
than
happy.
It could be the Pistons.
Huh?
You could be the Pistons, so you could be worse.
Yeah. I swear, man, I was thinking about it, Lou. It was real hard being a Washington football fan this year, last year. And it's looking like the same will be said for the basketball team. The Nets come out on fire. I'm hoping
I'll
that
be discussing
they,
that on the show Saturday as well.
Okay. Great.
They also have a problem because they also fired their coach recently and had to hire a new interim coach. You know, just a year ago, the Nets were the same situation. They hired this interim coach who brought us to the playoffs just barely. But this year, they've been right back down the drain again. So the Nets just can't seem to do very well for very long.
Right. Okay. I can go with that.
Well, then again, around here, Cal, the Nets are always treated as called the ugly stepbrother of the Knicks. And it's of course, showing.
Right.
They've been called the ugly stepbrother.
Right. And I hate that.
I know.
There are some people. But the only thing that kept the Nationals from being classified as the little brothers of the Orioles was
because the Nets
won the World Series. Exactly. They won the World Series. And because before that World Series, the only thing you heard about was TV rights being withheld from the Nationals because the Orioles had, you know, rightful owners of those slots. And, you know, the stadium, you know, because they were playing at RFK when they first came in to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, you know, viewed them as the little brother. But I was like, nah.
Well, then again, of course, you know, I mean, you know, they didn't, I mean, that's not what they're originally based on. I mean, because they're originally based from Montreal. So,
Right. Yeah, Lou, and I can recall Gordon Mack Electric had a part in the light that they put up on RFK for the stadium when the Nats were coming. And I was sitting there one day, man, and just like, recalling, you know, when I was actually working on those lights, and I mean, well, actually, when I was a young boy, and we used to try darndest to sneak in the games on Sunday morning, and you know, yeah, because those were, I mean, they were highlights, man, and moms never really let me be out at night during night games and stuff like that. So, but
our neighborhood
had guys, so many older guys in it that loved the Washington football team that they would put the projector on the wall and we would be able to watch the game. Matter of fact, that's exactly how I got into football itself as a sport, because those older guys, they would make it a party. They would make it an event, you know? So, yeah, man,
sure.
we had a ball. I loved that back in the day, you know? And you know, I look at it like this, man. You know, yes, it was a rough year last year for the football team, a rough year so far this year for the basketball team, and let's be honest, I don't see it changing or turning around or anything. I just don't see it. You know, we got what we got. But I still love my team. I'm not going to just give up or poo-poo on my team. I can't do that.
No,
so, yeah, you know. So, you know, hey, man, we got to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyway, back to the NBA, man. See, Lou?
Right.
Lou, you got me all off topic, man.
Sorry.
Sitting here reminiscing, thinking about the old days, you know?
Yeah.
They were much better, though. That's all I can say about that. They were much better.
The West, though, is looking a lot stronger than the East right now. I mean, the West have all these are the good records. Even the ones in the play-in qualification round, they are above 500. The East is looking, you know, rather shaky, except for, like, say, the top three. Other than that, you know, it's you know, like an avalanche ready to fall down.
Yeah, well, let's take a walk down this Western Conference, and we're going to start 10-1 this time. We're going to start at number 10 this time. We have the Lakers. The Lakers.
How
about 31-28. The Lakers, 31 wins, 28 losses. At number 10. Number 9, the Golden State Warriors, 30 wins, 27 losses. We have the Dallas Mavericks at number 8, 33-25. We have the Kings, Sacramento Kings, number 7, 33-24. We have the Suns at number 6, the Suns, 34-24. We have the Pelicans at number 5. 35-24. We have the Clippers at number 4. The Clippers at number 4 with a 37-19 loss record. We have the Nuggets at number 3, 39-19 record. We have the Oklahoma Thunder. The Oklahoma Thunder, 41 wins. 17 losses. And then at number 1 is the Timberwolves, 41-17. Like you said, Ruth, the West, it's, you know, even with as good as the Bucks look right now, I believe seriously that the champion is going to come from the West. I feel that in my heart of hearts, I just feel the champion will be out of that Western Conference.
No question.
And my money is either the Nuggets, or maybe even the Timberwolves. The Nuggets or the Timberwolves. I told somebody today, Lou, I said, if the Lakers mess around and make it to the finals and win, I know basketball is rigged. You could not tell me basketball is not rigged if that happens, because that Lakers team, I mean, you know, I just don't see them as the champions that everybody else does. And I know it's because LeBron is the face. So everybody wants to give LeBron the nod or the go-ahead. And I'm like, No, if you guys do that, the only reason you're doing that is because the NBA wants him to catch up with Michael Jordan or even Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. And I believe that would be a straight-up total disrespect the game if that is allowed to happen.
That would be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the man doesn't – I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve the attention, but I am saying that I know he's not doing enough. The Lakers as a team are not doing enough to be a champion. And you know, speaking of LeBron, I heard something the other day, Lou, that kind of startled me.
Yes.
LeBron has played on he's had over 34 All-Stars on his team. 34.
Yes.
Would you believe that Mike has only had 4, maybe 5? On his team that he played with. Yeah.
Considering that dynasty that he had, I mean, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why it startled me. I was like,
well, we can agree.
You know, I know Pippen has played in an All-Star game with him. I know I can't remember whether Ron Artest played in an All-Star game.
I think he did.
Okay. I'm just like, wow, I can't believe LeBron played with that many All-Stars and Mike only had the few. And when it comes to championships, you know, I don't care what anybody says, Lou. That bubble championship, it's going to always have an asterisk to me.
Yeah,
because it's not like players play for positioning. A lot of people just left. A lot of people just up and quit on this season. So
yeah,
it's hard for me. I give him credit as a winner, yes, because he won it all. Yeah, I give him that credit, but it's hard for me to really get behind that and you know give him all
of
the accolades.
The way I say it, a win is a win. A championship is a championship. Okay, it was very unusual circumstances, but they still won, you know. I mean, it was a little bit unorthodox the way it was done, but still, you got to get credit for the win.
Yeah, but Lou, we there's a reason that there's a 68-game season. To give us a story. It's like reading a book. We don't open a book and immediately go to the back of the book. We start from the beginning, we read the middle, and then the end. This championship, to me, is like a book that was halfway read. Oh, yeah, in the beginning, we read all of it, and now everybody's quitting, and it was like the league wanted to give LeBron another championship. Now, this is just me. This is just me. I feel as though the league wanted to give him another championship, and they told him, stay in the bubble. Your group will be the top group to win this. So stay in it, and the finals will be yours. Then I look at the end season tournament. That was a bunch of garbage, bro. That was a bunch of garbage if I've ever in my life seen.
Yeah, I've heard.
You know, you didn't watch that, Lou?
I did.
And I'm not saying it was garbage because, you know, guys didn't give their all and want to win. They did. They truly did. You know, they were chasing that money. So, yeah, they wanted to win, actually. So
right.
I'm not poo-pooing the effort, but it was amazing to me how, you know, LeBron knew everything about the tournament. He knew when guys were going to get paid for the tournament. And I'm like, why is he the one to know all of that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, how is he the one? What else did he know already?
Yeah.
You know? And they try to put it on, well, it's football season, playoff football, so basketball really isn't going to get the attention that it normally would. Well, you're changing things around because basketball wasn't getting the attention that you thought should be there. You guys have complained about this for years, for decades. You have complained about this. And when it's basketball's turn, they get the acknowledgement that they do. But I wasn't comfortable with them making a whole tournament up, you know, and then trying to use lack of viewership as the reason that the tournament was made. It just didn't sit right with me, you know. So I look at it like this, man. I look at it like this. Like I said earlier, the champion will come from the West unless the Bucks really step up and throw their name in the hat. Then it's anybody's championship. Anybody's, and barring any injuries or any other type of setback, I'm strong with the Bucks, man. I watched them play the other night, and Lou, I'm telling you, they look like a well-oiled machine, man. They really did. They truly did. And I'm just like, you know, when a team, not just physically, not just mentally, But in knowing their system, has that all of those things together, the mental aspect, the physical aspect, knowing where you should be, when you should be there. And the biggest thing that has won me over with the Bucks is, like I said on Tuesday, Doc has got Dame to go along with what it is he wants Dame to do. And I've seen Dame with other teams, and it seemed to me it was all about what Dame wanted to do. It seemed to me that no coach could really talk him into doing what it is they wanted him to do. So the fact that Doc has done that, and, you know, we've here on the corner, we've had plenty of people say that Doc is not a good coach and Doc is some trash and everything negative you could think to say about the man, they would say it. But all I'm saying is the man is doing his business. He's handling his business with this Milwaukee team, seriously. Boston, to me, this is why it's so hard for me to get behind Boston. And I know they're number one right now in the East, but Boston is a team that doesn't buy in to what it is their coach is saying to them. They don't buy in. It's like the coach will say, well, I want you to do this. And Boston says, you know, well, we out on the floor, and this looks like it's more better to do than that. And they'll do that, you know. And the coach will be like, you know, well, yeah, right now that looks good, but this is what I want you to do. I think when they got rid of Ime Udoka, when they got rid of him as a coach, it sent a message, players, you know. If you can do this to my coach, my head coach, if you can do this to him, there's no telling what could be done to me, you know? And another aspect of that situation, too, they covered up, and would not say nothing about the woman or women that he was having the inappropriate situations with. They took nothing from these women. They didn't fire these women, no suspension, nothing. And not all of them were just wives of high members of the organization. Some of them were employees. Some of them were employees, and I felt like, and as I'm sure some of the players as well felt like, well, you guys punished this dude and put him on suspension and, you know, let him go, and nothing was done or said about these females. I could understand if it was a situation where it was not consensual. I could understand if it's a situation where these women were treated wrong. Nothing like that went on. These situations were consensual and approved, I'll say, by everybody except for the big brass in the organization. And to me, that kind of rubbed a lot of players the wrong way. That had a lot of players thinking, well, you know, why did they do that to him? You know, I must mean nothing. They can do whatever they want to me as a player, you know, if they do this to the head coach. And then again, like I said, they completely kept the female out of the mix, completely. So, you know, and I think Boston has been suffering since then. Yeah, the regular season, they're the number one team. They rolling. They putting it all together. They doing their thing. They look good out there. But when the lights get bright, they need a coach to lead them. When the lights get bright, they need a coach that's going to tell them, hey, put your shades on and let's go out there and do our thing. Do what we've been doing all season, all regular season. No need to change up now. But like I say, you know, they don't have that. And I'm not dogging the coach that they do have now. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about him. But I just think when it comes down to it, a coach with more experience is needed for Boston. What say you, Lou?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with all that.
Yeah. I do too. Well, I said it, so you know I agree with all of it. But, you know, hey, these are the things that happen, and yeah. You know, teams have to go through it to really get their feet in the right direction.
Especially now.
Let's discuss the Heat, man. That's another team that really befuddles me. And the reason I say that, every year the Heat has been losing the same way.
Mm.
They're getting outplayed by big men. They're getting outplayed by big men. Denver had their way with the Heat last year in the finals. They had their way with them, you know, did whatever they wanted, however they wanted, whenever they wanted, because they had Joker. They had the big man in the middle, and they keep trying to label and make Bam into that big-time center, and Bam is only a power forward build. He has a nice power forward build, but I don't see him as a big man, seriously. You know, when will the Heat, you know, what is Pat Riley doing down there, man? You know? What is he doing, man? When will Pat Riley say, okay, this is what I need. I'm going to go ahead and get that. And we'll try to bring a championship. You think about it, you know, Alonzo Mourning was a complete animal for the
tell you what.
And you would think they, because the team was so successful with that, you would think they would, you know, keep that as their, you know, their blueprint, you know, and it's like they've gone far away from it. They've gone away from it like they don't even, you know, we're not going to acknowledge the big man anymore. Why not? You know?
Why not?
The Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, I got them falling off, man. I don't see them. I really don't see them doing. Yeah. I think Trey hurts their team more than help it. I truly do. Number one, he's too small, and that's just how I feel. He's too small, and you know, the NBA has already caught lightning in the bottle with Muggsy Bogues and the other little Robinson that was Nate Robinson.
Oh yeah,
they've already caught lightning in the bottle, and I'm not saying that Trae Young is not a good player. I'm not saying that at all, but he's undisciplined. He's unorthodox as far as I've seen coaches try to tell and talk and communicate with him, and he does what he wants to do. He almost tells the coach, shut the hell up. I'm going to do my thing, you know? And we've never seen that work. The only person we've seen that work with is Michael Jordan. And he even came around and got himself together and with his coach and what his coach wanted him to do. So, yeah. The 76ers, Lou, I hate to say it, but I think the 76ers are done, man.
Embiid said he might come back, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
Mm-mm.
All right, seriously.
It won't because Embiid is even if he does come back, what is he coming back with a new heart? You know, is he coming back with a whole new mindset, or will he still be that big man that's constantly falling on the floor and getting injured? You know, you can come back all you want to. But what are you going to do once you come back? Who are you going to be once you come back? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not like he was a dominant center before the injury.
No.
You know? It's not like we can look back and say, well, Embiid did good at this point and that point. No, we can't say that. We can't say that at all. So, yeah, Yeah, 76ers, I don't see them doing anything. Now, I will tell you, after the 76ers, I'll say it's up in the air with the Knicks, it's up in the air with the Magic and Pacers.
Yeah.
I think the Bulls still have problems with their stars. You know, I think those guys still don't really truly get along. So,
no, they don't.
No, they don't. So I think that's going to show itself at an inopportune time. I truly do. Because that's how it normally happens. That's how it normally happens. The team go on a run and the media put the run on this player. Team feel like, no, it's that player, and that player feels like he's being slotted or ignored for what he's doing, and then you got a big fuss in the locker room about who's really the man, who's really doing what. So,
I'll be back next week. I remember the show on Saturday, and hopefully the other cohorts will be joining me for the big show.
Give that number out again, Lou.
Certainly. 512-543-4662. Once again, 512-543-4662 from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 5 in the Central Time Zone, and 1 to 3 in the West.
All right. 512-543-4662. That is Lou. Hey, give me the time. Give me the time again, bro.
4 to 6 p.m. here in the East. 3 to 5 if you're calling from the Central, and 1 to 3 if you're calling from the West Coast.
All right. Got you. Got you.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, bro.
Thanks, Al.
All right. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, y'all know what time it is, man. It's football, man. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to get into this combine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all know it's that time. All right. We'll be right back. 563-999-3782. Let the 23. Ah, that's my joint there, yeah. That's my joint there. All right. NFL 40 times trackers. Who has the fastest 40 time thus far at the NFL combined? They've only had two positions playing today, or working out today. That's defensive linemen and linebackers. Defensive linemen and linebackers. And the top 10, 40 times. Brayden Fisk, D tackle from Florida State, 4.78. Number two, Brandon Dorlus, defensive end from Oregon State, 4.85. Number three, Makai Wingo, defensive tackle from LSU, 4.85. Number four, Byron Murphy II, defensive tackle from Texas, 4.87. Number five, Rook Ohorio, yeah, defensive tackle from Clemson, 4.89. Number six, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle from Michigan, with a 4.91. Number seven, Jaden Crumdy, defensive tackle from Mississippi State, 4.97. Number eight, Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle from Duke, 4.99. Number nine, Mason Smith, defensive tackle from LSU, with our first 5.01 time. Number 10, Tyler Davis, defensive tackle from Clemson, with a 5.240 time. So that is our 40-yard dash tracker for the defensive linemen. Linebackers are scheduled for athletic testing a little later on today. Defensive backs are scheduled for testing tomorrow. And tight ends as well tomorrow. Quarterback Saturday, running back Saturday, wide receivers testing on Saturday. Offensive linemen will be testing on Sunday, and special teams, punters and kickers, are scheduled for testing on Sunday. So that's our whole weekend of 40 times and all the activity going on at the combine. And I'm watching this combine, and I tell y'all, it is so entertaining to me. It's so entertaining to me because I know they're just in T-shirts and shorts. I get it. When you add equipment, the everything will pick up. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, I'm looking at can measure the intensity. How intense are these guys going? They're doing a drill right now. They have two hula hoop size rings. And on one ring, they have a towel rolled up on the right. And on the other ring, they have a towel rolled up on the left. And the players, the object of this is to run the figure eight and stop and pick up a towel, drop it on the opposite side, go and pick the other towel up, drop it on the other side. These are the things that I love to see. I love to see this because, no, I can't look at this and say, oh, he's going to be a great football player. But I can look at it and say, oh, he's going to bring the proper energy. Oh, this young man does not give up, you know. And you see him, you know, these guys are slipping and falling and going through all type of crazy mess, but they're doing everything necessary to complete the drill, and that's what I like to see. Let's bring in Marcus. What's happening, bruh?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
I ain't nothing, man. I ain't nothing. Just try and get through and do what I do. What's up with you? How's your day?
Man, it's going pretty good, man. You know, like, life throw you a couple little curveballs, but, man, you just got no idea with it, champ. It's life.
That's life. That is life. Words to live by, man. Words to live by, you know. We'll talk deeper after the show, but those are words.
You already know.
Exactly. So combine. What are you most looking forward to?
As far as the combine is concerned.
Yeah. It's on right now.
I'm gonna be honest. I mean, the combine. You know, I look at it differently ever since I watched the Colin Kaepernick documentary.
Right.
You know, movie that he came out with, and it really pretty much puts these teenagers on the slab. But at the same time, it does show it makes certain athletic abilities shine out more so than someone who doesn't have a certain ability. But the true test is the game, you know. So they can do all that in the combine and not produce in an actual game. And that person,
right,
that did, you know, that went seventh or eighth in the draft, you know, seventh or eighth round, you know, they go out to be one of the top tier players in that particular position. So
I think
it's all for glitz. I think it's more so just for the glitz and the glam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets us ready and gets us all excited for what's to come in next season.
Right. I wanted to ask a question. How do you feel about these quarterbacks who are potentially number one picks or early round picks for teams not throwing? You know, not they participate in all of the other skill positions, but they won't throw.
Uh-huh.
You know, how do you feel about that?
What you mean? They decide not to throw. They make the conscious effort not to
throw the ball. Yes.
I don't really know the reason behind it.
Well, let's talk about Kalen Williams, okay? He said he feels as though his draft stock will go down because he's throwing to receivers he's not familiar with. He's throwing to guys that he doesn't have timing with. And I brought this up because, to me, bruh, you already coming to the combine. You aren't even in the NFL yet, but you're coming to the combine with sort of a diva mentality to me. That's to me. You're saying that you're not going to throw the football, but you are a quarterback, son. You're a quarterback. What the hell else are you going to do? Nobody comes to see you run around cones. Nobody clicking on the combine to see you do anything but throw the throws that you know. Listen, and let me say this. Even if the timing is off with the dude that you're throwing to, there are things that can be judged by what you do. Did you throw an accurate ball? Did you throw a long enough ball? You know, and it's not like they're putting you in a 7-on-7 situation. No, they're just telling you, we want you to throw the receiver tree. The receiver is judged by running the tree. You're judged by getting the ball where it's supposed to be. So to me, that's an excuse, man. That's just an excuse. What say you, Marcus? You still with me, Marcus? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, man. Look, are we talking about Caleb?
Yeah. Not just him. So, it's a couple of top quarterback prospects who are saying that they're not going to throw at the combine.
So I'm gonna be honest, man. Like, how I feel about players that don't want to earn their stripes, don't want to go through the same lines of an initiation and engagement that every other, you know, NFL, you know, player has went through. Or and this cross pollination to any sport, I think it's you know, because I was just talking about this about boxing. I think that these guys, like you said, they do have a little diva attitude, but then in the same breath, there are some things, like I just mentioned, as far as being not really looking at it from a perspective of these guys are actually being looked at like, you know what I'm saying, kind of like in a slave type of manner. You know what I mean? And but when we talk about ability, this is the only way to kind of showcase your ability. And regardless of your throwing, your stock going down because you're throwing the receivers that you don't know or you don't have that rapport with, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of it, because If you could throw to somebody who you don't have that kind of relationship with, and you can still drop dimes on them, And you know what I mean? And you can still find a way to communicate with them on the field that shows your ability. And everybody else
yeah.
that became a professional player went through that. So,
yeah.
I have mixed feelings.
Let me say this, Marcus. You said one thing that really ticks me. Love your comment, but you said one thing that really ticks me. How can we think of slavery with this, what's going on at the combine? I get it. Their measurements are being poked at, and guys are being made to run and jump and all of that. But everything that they're being made to do is associated with football. And to compare this with, or see this as something familiar to slavery, nobody in slavery or nobody that was a slave gets paid for their efforts. You know, it doesn't sit right with me. Because I've heard a bunch of people say that, you know, the combine ain't nothing but slavery and this and that and the other. And Kaepernick has his right for saying what he felt. You know, that's that man's right. And I'm not saying he's wrong about feeling that way. But no one was paid for slavery, man. No one was paid for it. And I think a lot of times we get thrown under the rug or tossed around because we'll use a card like that and we'll say that, and people are like, you see how they reaching and trying to compare this to that and that to this. That just don't sit right with me, man, because people are paid in the NFL. They're paid for what they do, their efforts. And I can understand at the same time why you would say that, but all I'm saying is slavery and the combine is two different things. It is two different things.
Go ahead. So I think it's how we look at it, because I can see the division and not agreeing with the statement. But when I've looked at I've had the ability to look at the sport of boxing and fighters in boxing from a more personal level. I'm not ingrained in football the same way, but when you start talking about that point that was made, or you bring in slavery on how we're looked at, we've always been looked at. When I say we, I mean brown people, looked at.
Right.
As the stronger, look how thick they are, you know what I'm saying? Look how
right.
how athletic, you know what I mean? And I think the comparison in slavery is that, that's how we were bred, to
right.
breed us in a sense,
right.
to create stronger
yeah.
workers. Now,
yeah. Yeah.
Now when you look at it from the sense of football or sports, I think it's the psyche of a child who loves the game or whatever sport they're playing, and they're not really realizing that yes, you're being paid for it, but your ability to have control over it and be your control of being a regular person begins to slip away the further and further you get into the professional field of football or whatever it is.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Let's bring our man Nas in. What's happening, Nas?
All right, Nas, man. What's going on, y'all?
Not much.
What's up, Nas?
You've been here. What's your opinion when it comes to the combine and some of the opinions about it? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to the conversation because no matter what, you're trading on your body. Like, that's right. Exactly what that business is. So, you know, people got to understand that. When you call your insurance provider and you're trying to get, you know, a nice little price for yourself and they tell you about pre-existing conditions, well, think about it. Every football player is actually a walking, talking pre-existing condition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Injuries and things you accumulate throughout your football life. So the direct comparison to enslavement, I wouldn't say that. But would I make a direct comparison to the auction block? To where on the auction block you had to stand there, they look at your teeth, look at your body, look at this, look at that. Check everything and see if you're a commodity that's worth investing in or intake at a prison when you walk in that line and they got to look. So I would make those comparisons because, again, you're trading on your body for that financial security. That's what that game is, and that's part of the process.
Right. Yeah. And I feel as though because that is a personal opinion, I would never say anybody's wrong for feeling that way. I would never say that, but I just don't share that opinion because, again, and I say this all the time, there was no money involved in slavery, man. No money at all. You know, all of the finances went for what you did and all you put out there. All those finances went to everybody else involved with you. The actual slave got nothing. So, and then like Nas just said, there are aspects of it that intertwine with the whole slavery situation. There are aspects of it, like you say, they checking your teeth, and you ain't using your teeth in football. What the hell are they checking your teeth for? You know, they're measuring the length of hand to hand and all this other stuff, and we can see with some things, why it's necessary or why they do it, and then with other things, we question. You know, what is that about?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. You know, and I'm like I say, I won't say that you're wrong. I won't say that you're wrong at all. But it's just interesting to me when people just compare that to that situation, slavery situation. It just seems to me like it's no comparison. You know, there are some things that's similar, but in comparison, you know, when you start to compare, similar does not make it what that is, that situation is, or was, rather, you know. So, you know, and again, like I say, if slaves were getting paid like these football players, I'd be one of the first ones that would have said, sign me up, for real. Sign me up. But, you know, they weren't. And I think that is the huge difference. That's the huge difference. And then some of the other things that slaves had to endure. Like you said, Marcus, just because Kale, DMV Kale is a huge black dude, they make me mate with, you know, someone else, another woman that's huge herself. No matter how I feel about her, no matter what I want, they make me mate with her so that we can produce other workers, huge workers, you know? So it's just like, I don't, like I say, man, you know, I look at the situation, and I can get what people are saying about it and how they feel about it. I think that's your own personal choice, and you're entitled. I'm never going to poo-poo what somebody says or thinks because you're entitled to feel whatever you feel. But if I disagree with it, give me, like you and I right now, Marcus, you know, give me the respect to say why I say yay or nay, as I have given to you, you know. That's all it is about it. And that is what makes it a conversation, you know. That's what makes it interesting. Well, so, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, as I mentioned before, you know, it really depends on, like, how close you, your ability to look at it from multiple aspects or be connected to it in a certain way. Like I said, I'm not connected mm-hmm. to any sports player, you know what I mean, on a personal level other than the sport of boxing. And
right.
And I've seen some things that are truly indicative of what I said. And when I think about it in other sports, I could see how it can line up the exact same way, you know. And and I know it has to be there because of some of the things that we have seen our brothers, you know, brothers doing, you know, off of the field. So,
right,
you know, especially
right.
when they're young, going into the league, and just not having the mental stability and understanding wherewithal, even though they're paid mightily well, you know what I mean, coming into the league or you know, after their first couple of years and they still doing some of that stuff, you know, and really just can't
right.
even and really can't even get it together, you know, can't figure out why they still acting the way they act, you know.
Right.
You know, we actually had a football player who we drafted, what, like maybe like 4 years ago, the safety who was supposed to be, they was comparing him to you know, Sean Taylor and all that, and he
mm-hmm.
really had a mental breakdown, and he didn't give up anything. He didn't. I don't even think he played one game.
No, he went. He got. If we're talking about the same player, remember he was traded to the Giants and won the Super Bowl with the Giants and quit football. Okay, you're not talking about. Okay.
This dude didn't play at all. We traded him. I don't think did he win it. He won a Super Bowl with the Giants, but he didn't play with them, did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. You're talking about the guy that was more interested in his body and modeling than playing football. I just can't recall his name, but I know he.
No, I'm not talking about him. Nah,
okay.
I'm gonna figure out his name. I'm gonna check his name right now. But no, he had he was battling with depression. He was battling with some mental problems, and he didn't play.
Okay. Honestly, a
lot of those stories we're not gonna know about because in order to discover CTE, most of the time it has to be somebody who's already passed away, and then they agree to let them study their body after they're gone. But you think about it, these guys who play football from the time JFL all the way high school, college, and then the pros, you're talking about a whole lot of hits by the time you get there.
Yeah.
There are going to be some of those people who are psychologically damaged.
Yeah.
Now, here's the kicker. Like, when we talk about this, and that's why I got into what I did with the insurance thing. Think about it. If you are a pro football player, the most amount of money you're going to make, you're going to make on that first and second contract, and you hope to get a third, right?
Right.
After you're done, you got to use that money for the rest of your life as far as how much you earn, and you're probably not going to earn as much as you did during those years. So the rest of your life is a decline in how much you're going to earn, but not only do you have to shift, downshift in lifestyle, but also those health concerns only become bigger as you age. So you need a hip replace 1 year. Another year, you need a knee replacement. Guess what? Those premiums are banging. Man, those premiums are hitting you over the head, not to mention cost of surgery and everything else. So you got to keep all of that up, and you got to continue on with the idea that everybody's going to assume you were just a moron who blew your money, when in reality the game is kind of slanted for you not to succeed. That's essentially what you're looking at. So it looks like a lot of money at one time, but if you look at their lifestyle, think about the people who make the same amount of money as them. When those people start making that kind of money for the rest of their lives, they're either going to make as much or they're going to make more because they're working in whatever industry that pays them well like that. But these football players, on the other hand, they got to make miracles happen for the rest of their life because of the healthcare costs and try to keep whatever lifestyle they've attained by playing. So, this is why those TV jobs are so competitive, man. They're trying to get that after retirement money and everything else, man. So, it ain't as sweet as it seems.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's a good point, those medical premiums, and that's a great point. But, real quick, I wanted to ask you the same question I asked Marcus. How do you feel about these young, highly talked about quarterback not throwing at the combine? Do you agree with that, or do you have a problem with it?
The moment you hire an agent or a manager or whoever it is to represent you and pick the best ideas for your career, you're turning over those responsibilities to them. So if they're telling you you've got all the leverage because they're looking at quarterbacks as a premium in the draft, and the only thing you can do by getting out there is hurt yourself, then you might as well stand pat and listen to your agent. Otherwise, fire your agent, get out there and throw to prove that you could throw. But to me, I think the agents know this game very well, and they know that the Kansas City Chiefs today, or yesterday, the owner got up in front of the people there and talked about a tax increase that they want to pay for renovations for the Kansas City Stadium. Otherwise, they'll move. Now, after winning back-to-back Super Bowls, those people are going to pay that tax, right?
Yeah.
They're moving towards leverage. So same thing for these quarterbacks. If you Drake May or you Caleb Williams, why should I go out there and give you a reason to try to devalue me when I know if I just stand pat, you're just going to have to pick me and I'm going to take the money? So.
Well, remember, the money isn't what it used to be. They don't get those big, huge contracts off the break anymore,
It's slotted. It's slotted. So that's even more reason for you to hold your position. So if you get drafted at one, you get one figure. You get drafted at two, you get another figure. So the mindset is I might as well hold that number and get that highest, one that I can. Because, you're right. Ever since that rookie wage scale is in, that money is slotted already. You get drafted number five, you know what you're getting.
Right. All right, yeah. I get the viewing and boardroom side of it all. I get that. I understand that. But to me, it's just like, bruh, you got to go through the rites of passage, man. You got to do what everybody else has done. You know, if you're a good quarterback, that money is going to come to you. It's going to come. If you're not a good quarterback, that'll be shown as well. That will be shown as well. I believe, put yourself in the mindset that I'm going in the NFL as a quarterback, so I'm going to do what quarterbacks do. And to me, it hurts you more to change up and say, nah, I'm not going to do that. You know, I think a lot of times these guys listening to their agent is not a good thing for them. It's really not a good thing for them, man, because agents never play, man. These agents have never played. So why are you Marcus, I remember this guy. Sua Cravens. Yeah, he didn't play with us. And he didn't get traded. Yeah. I didn't know
he did. He got traded to Denver.
Okay.
Oh, matter of fact, we might have just let him go in Denver. Denver Broncos picked him up, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he played one season with Denver, mm-hmm. and just disappeared. Sua Cravens. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Good catch, Marcus. Great catch.
Yes, sir.
But I'm cool with, you know, all in all, it's your decision as a player, what you will and you won't do. But don't come with a manufactured reason why you're not doing it. And when I heard Caleb Williams' reasoning behind not throwing, I was like, what? He doesn't want to throw to guys he's not familiar with. Bruh, you're going in the NFL. You're familiar with no one unless the team that drafts you drafts one of your receivers that played with you in college. You're not familiar with anyone. So that theory is out the window as far as I'm concerned. That means nothing to me. You know,
Kel, there's a difference between throwing to new people when you get to a team and y'all got an established rapport and you're used to timing and everything else, and throwing to people in a one-day scenario, a one-hour situation where if you overthrow a couple of the deep balls, they say, oh, well, maybe he's not so good with the deep ball, and now we got a reason to devalue him. So, again, you're paying the agent 5%. The agent is advising you of this because he's saying this is what those people do. They try to nitpick and pick you apart to figure out reasons not to give you your full worth. So we play it like this. So if you're paying that man 5%, I say you listen to the man and tell that man to get on that phone and work them phones to get you drafted as high as possible. Let that man do his job and earn his money.
Yeah. I mean, I have no argument with that. I have no argument with that. Just as a fan, I want to see you work, bruh. Because think about it like this. A quarterback and a receiver, though they are working together, they're judged on different points separately. The receiver, can he track the ball? Does he have soft hands? Can he catch the ball? That quarterback, can he throw an accurate ball? You know, there are things that are just on the quarterback and things that are just on the wide receiver. That's just the way I feel about it, you know. I'm not going knock a quarterback because I can see, but then again, I'm not the one tasked with paying them. So, you know, because I'm not that dude that's tasked to pay them that money, I can see from this point of view, you know. And as that agent, where some of that money going to be mine, yeah, we're going to do what will get us the most. We're going to do what we can, you know, we'll be able to hold on to. So I'm cool with that. I understand that. And I just, you know, it just makes me sick, man, because I want to see these boys do what they're going to be paid to do, you know. That's all, you know. And I understand agents have a job and you know, they are going to do their job the best of their ability. So, yeah. We're going to take a quick break. 563-999-3782. And this one here, this dedicated to them agents, man. We'll be right back. The conversation that we were having on Tuesday at the end of the show when we had to go, I'm curious what you guys think about this, the Cam Newton situation at the 7-on-7 event that he held last week. He had kids from another team and coaches they were assaulting the man. They were truly assaulting the man. And I was listening to the reporters from ESPN talk about it, and it seemed to me all they wanted to say was, well, Cam real slick out his mouth, and you know, people not going to take a whole lot of trash talk from him. It rubs folks the wrong way. All I'm going to say, care how wrong you are rubbed. I don't care. If beating him on the football field is what you really want to do and you cannot find a way to defeat him, then you need to get in that lab a little bit harder, man. This is why a lot of guys make a name for themselves and completely leave the hood. Won't go back for anything. Won't help. And a lot of people say, look, he made his money. Now he's too good for everybody. Now he won't come back and give back. Dr. Dre had the best line I've ever heard, and that was, Bammers can't hit what Bammers can't see. And I cleaned it up, but we all know the line. And that, to me, is the reason why we don't see Dre on clips and YouTube and all of that, Instagram, being assaulted, because he don't go around the people that he know will assault him. What do you guys think about that one? Floor's open.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, sometimes people are jealous, and then the other part of it is these aren't like guys who just happen to randomly go down there. These are guys who run football camps too. They've known each other for years. You know, some of these things go back to high school where you're arguing and talking smack at people. And then sometimes that you know, boils over into people just not being cool with each other. And it can lead to a bad decision where you decide we're going to jump Cam Newton, and then you get embarrassed in front of the world when he slings one of you across the stage, buries another one of you, and eats the punches that you're throwing at him, and you try to jump this man, and you got embarrassed. So, I mean, this is just regular sport in life. If we didn't have cameras, this would be a non-story. This is not a big deal. This is like at the AAU where teams are rivals and people don't like each other, and let's say you get a dust-up at the hotel and people get into a little fist fight, but it doesn't escalate beyond that. The only reason that this story became viral is Cam is as famous as he is, and because all of it was on video. But, you know, it's just a regular, ridiculous, ego-driven fight. That stuff happens. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Cam will be there at his camp next year with no problem. And those other guys will be there, too, because they made an apology and, you know, trying to get the parents of the kids that they represent to let them know, like, hey, don't give up on us. We're still going to do what we do, train the kids and all that. But, yeah, this just ego's out of control, man. It happens. It just happened to go viral because you got a famous dude in it.
Come on. Okay. Come on, Marcus.
I'm going to keep it real, man. Like, I don't really know what the incident was. You know, Cam not really even on my – the only thing about Cam is on my radar a little bit is what he does – you know, with his, like his news media, like his little talk show thing that he does, and I kind of like the couch setting that he has, and the different people, you know, famous people that he has come and sit on the couch and they talk, you know, different, they talk about everything, bro. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They talk about everything, not just sports. You know what I mean? So I like that part of what Cam, I don't know if he still does it, but I think he does because I see a lot of clips of it.
I don't, like I say,
I don't even know what the incident was, so I can't even really speak to it.
Well, he was at his 7-on-7 tournament, and at the end of the tournament, he was walking to his car. And one of the coaches and a couple of the assistant coaches began talking smack to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam responded like, y'all just had all that time on the field. Why y'all ain't do nothing on the field? And I've been a coach. A very heated, emotional coach from time to time when people say the wrong things out their mouth to me. But I've never gotten to a point where I'm ready to fight an adult. Now, I did get into it with one coach because I was protecting my child, my kid. You know, I say it all the time. When a kid is wearing my uniform, practice all week with me, he's my child. So I'm going to make sure that nothing goes on to harm him. So, yeah, we ran a play, and the youngin' ran on the opposite sideline, and that coach reached out and tripped the youngin'. And I was like, Slim, did you just trip my kid? And next thing I know, it was an all-out brawl on the field. And I was not at all proud of that. But I made a promise to those kids that I would protect them at all costs. that is just what it turned into. And the ref called the game and, you know, just called it a draw. So, you know, that's how that game ended. But, you get intense in the moment. And I'm sure you, Marcus, with boxing, I'm sure you've been at an event and one of your prospects is in that ring and he's getting his man and doing, you know, everything you've trained him to do, and it rubs some of the other coaches the wrong way. You know, people just get overexcited with things. But as the adult, you're supposed to have more control than that. You're supposed to have more self-control than that. And that's the only thing I took from it, first of all, was all the negative that it put on an African-American event, let's be honest, and the fact that it was some hood nonsense. It was some hood nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, and that puts a smear on all of us. And then when I say all of us, I'm saying everyone African-American involved in any type of sport. That puts a smear on us. Yeah, that was a football camp, but AAU basketball, you know, even down to Little League soccer puts a bad bone on all of us. So that was my only problem with it. I had no problem with Cam Newton defending himself because he didn't throw the first punch. He didn't throw the first punch. Them guys came and assaulted him, and he protected himself. I believe every human being has the right to protect themselves. I don't care where you at. I don't care what's going on. You got the right to protect yourself. So
absolutely.
I'm not saying anything bad about Cam Newton, but I'm sure after it was all over and he saw that it went viral, I'm sure he was more than disappointed, and not just the coaches, but in the actions that they made him project. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is about it. I was more feeling embarrassed for him because he handled his business like Nas just said. Man, one dude he threw across the stage, and the other dude, you know, tried to punch Cam but ended up punching his own buddy or teammate. So it was just, you know, and then they showed a clip of Cam at another camp where this youngin' was like, you a bum, how much money you got now, and you did. And I'm like, bruh, Tom Brady wouldn't have to deal with this at no camp. Eli, Peyton, Drew Brees, none of these guys would have to deal with anything like this at a camp, man. And that was crazy to me. That was crazy to me that they chose to interact with that man that way. Go ahead. Was that Marcus?
Yeah, that was neat. You know, I've seen Cam's personality. You know what I'm saying? He is a trash talker. You know, but when you start talking about sports and that edge, that chip, you know, a lot of players got that. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just the norm, you know, like, and there's different stages for that. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you talk a little more, you do a little more on the field because you want the refs to make a call for you. You know what I mean? You want the refs to, you know, throw that yellow flag. You know, some of it is all acting. Yeah, some of it is all acting. So, but at the same time, you got to expect somebody to, like you say, defend themselves, and not even just defend themselves physically, but also defend their ability with their mouth first, and then with what they can produce. You know, I'm a big fan of Cam from back in the day, and I still say that the league kind of messed that, not the league, Ron Rivera in particular, and company, you know, they messed him up. I'm sorry they messed him up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Running all of the shorts,
mm-hmm.
all of the decisions that he had to take playing for Carolina all them years, that's why he wasn't good on the back half of his career. And, again, I told people this on this show before. Think about Josh Allen, how you see him running over linebackers and stuff. The last ending of Josh Allen's career, man, it's going to be his body falling apart the same way that happened to Cam. But Cam was on the show speaking about this, and he talked about how for him to run those 707 camps, he said it's like $25,000 for a weekend of him doing that. And he said he's going to continue to do it. He said he spent $250,000, I think, a couple of years ago in total on running those camps and, you know, training youth on football and all that. So ultimately, that dude feel like this part of his calling, so he's going to continue to do it. And when you jump in somebody, make sure they ain't 6'5 and 250, man, because you might find out that you ain't as tough as you think you are.
Smart. All smart. That was crazy to me. And like you say, man, Cam got to tossing them dudes around, and I was like, why would they do that? You know? He embarrassed y'all. All of y'all. He straight embarrassed you, man.
I heard a dude at work say this today. He said, man, I'm a real mild mannered dude. I'm a chill dude. But I still got that F around and find out in me. Don't even test it. You know what I'm saying? Like he just said, man, that Bama has always been a freak of nature. That is a huge dude, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that is a huge dude. But you want to play around and you seen how he used to throw the ball. You think he can't throw his fist into your body the same way? Got to be crazy.
Got to be crazy, man. Got to be crazy. I don't understand people sometimes, and I'm not just going to say our people because I've seen the others act out and crazy as well, but I just don't understand people sometimes, man. It's like, bruh, third and short, Slim, if he can control his body against people bigger than him, bro, where's your victory at, man? Where's your victory, man? Come on, bro.
I added something new to the life list, Kel.
What's that?
Fight a dude who lift weights to gospel music. That dude always putting out Instagram little posts, and sometimes he be in there working out. This dude be having gospel music playing. Don't fight nobody who lifts to gospel music.
Yeah, gospel give you a different type of confidence, man. Gospel music gives you a different type of confidence, man. And you come in thinking I can, and he shows you, nah, you can't. You can't, man. So, you know. Man, hopefully this will, the video itself will deter people who want to come out with that type of nonsense on their mind, you know. Hopefully it'll be a situation where people will stop and think, hold on, he was tossing the last dudes that thought that they could get away with this like they were nothing. So, let me go ahead and back up off of that. Hey, Nas, I got a question for you real quick. Who is Atlanta your football team?
Yeah, some days. Not really. You know me, man. I'm a free agent fan out here, man. So
yeah,
it is
yeah. Yeah, because now I'm hearing that Atlanta is in the hunt seriously for Justin Fields because Caleb going to the Bears. That's just what it is. And I had a buddy come over to the house yesterday, and we were discussing Caleb and college football in general. And he made a point that I haven't heard anyone make when it comes to Caleb Williams. He doesn't win the big game. If you look at him in college, all the big games, the teams who had a record either better than theirs or near theirs, he doesn't win those games. And I mean, I'm talking about years of this. I'm not just talking about last season when he got hot and everybody started saying, yeah, Caleb. He doesn't win those big games. I don't know how much college football you watch, but is that a true assessment in your book?
Yeah, I mean, it can be said, but I don't think it's fair. Ultimately, remember who his coach was when they were at Oklahoma and they were scoring 40 points and still losing all the big games. When they had Baker, they was doing that. When they had Jalen Hurts, they was doing that. So that coach and his high-scoring offense that can't stop nobody, that he took out the USC, who we saw a bad Colorado team put almost 50 on them this year. Didn't they almost score 50 on them, boy?
Yeah.
So, yeah, more than anything, yeah, it's just on a bad team. They can score, but they can't stop nobody. So Caleb would have had to be Superman for them to really advance. But you know how I go with college football. If you ain't got it in the trenches on both sides, man, you ain't going to the playoffs, let alone winning no chip.
Yeah, yeah. I just found that was a point that I never thought of when it came to Caleb Williams. I can remember watching him play in some of those games and was like, you know, what is he doing? But like you said, you know, he put adequate points up. The defense couldn't stop nobody. So, you know, and I said that to my buddy. I said, man, I put more on the defense than Caleb. He can't come out and play quarterback and corner and safety and linebacker and all that at the same time. He just can't. You know? But, you know,
Lincoln Riley is that coach's name. I couldn't think of his name for some reason. But Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Remember, he's at Oklahoma. He been doing this. They've been talking about he's going to go to the NFL with his innovative offense. But he ain't winning national championships because his defense is always sorry. And eventually, you know, they run up on a team with more athletes and beat them down. So I think that's more of a him issue.
I have named Lincoln Riley Chip Kelly number two. Seriously. Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Seriously, because Chip Kelly is another coach in college. He could put them offensive numbers up, but he tried to bring that same system to the NFL, and they pretty much showed him, bro, that ain't working here, you know. And the Eagles said, nah, thank you, sir. Here's your money. We're going to go ahead and send you on your way, you know. So, yeah, I agree with that point. I wish I had thought of that last night because I was defending Caleb like crazy, man. Nah, he a good quarterback, man, and da, da, da. And all we talked was the offensive side of the game. We didn't talk the defensive at all, you know.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy
what's
about
that?
The whole thing that you're talking about, man, about these individuals who don't win in the big show? That literally transfers into the NFL all the time in professional coaching and in professional players that have been – back and forth to the playoffs over and over and over again. They get all the way to the end, and then they can't produce wins. because most of it is, it's just a mental fortitude. It's like, can you push back your pride? A lot of times with these players and with these coaches, they out to try to prove something. You know what I'm saying? They want to prove that they could do something that they don't normally do. And every time they do that, man, and get away from their game plan for two quarters, and then they try to go back to it, it's too late. It's too late.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and they get befuddled. And they start playing the other play that you play into the other team's strategy instead of playing your own game. It's like they get so technical, you know what I'm saying? Instead of it be, they make it chess when it's supposed to be checkers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
and you want all the glory too, Marcus. Like some of them offensive coaches, they could go into the president's office and say, "Look, I need a high level defensive coordinator. Spend the money. Go get me a real good DC." But they don't want that because they want all the credit. They want to be the guy who did it all and not be willing to say, "My defense is terrible. I need help."
or even it'll be the situation that it is in Dallas. We all know McCartney is a weak coach, seriously. But the strong coaches, I mean, look how long it took for Jerry Jones to put your boy in the Ring of Honor. It is recorded that they had all types of fights and disagreements, and other coaches had to get in between Jerry Jones and what's the other coach's name, man?
Jimmy Johnson.
Exactly. I don't know why I forgot that name, but you got that situation as well. You have that situation as well. They have done everything with McCartney because Jerry wants to keep him around, and I'm sure, I am positive that if you were able to talk to Jerry's son, he don't want McCartney there. I'm serious. But Jerry is the man. He signs the check. He's in control. And everybody is going to conform and fix themselves to what Jerry wants. It's just that simple. Nas, can you write real quick?
Give me a few minutes. Let me see if I can give you my notes. Okay. Yeah, what's up, Tim?
Take this number down. 202-749-6686. 202-749-6866. Give me a call when you get free. I want to discuss some things with you. All right, guys. Great show. I appreciate you all for being there here with me these 2 hours or however long you've been. It is much appreciated. I want everybody to have a great, safe weekend. Have a safe weekend. No phone call, no text, no drink. It's more important than your life. None of them are more important than your life. I watched a movie the other night, and it was about a young lady who was drunk driving and not just destroyed her life, but destroyed the life of the family that she was in the accident with. So it's enough of that going around. It's enough of that going around, and I don't want anyone under the sound of my voice to be finding themselves in that type of situation. All right, guys, have a great weekend. Love on your family. Let them know that you love them more every day. All right, and I'll get back with you guys Tuesday, 5 p.m. Let's have a great weekend. Let's go out with the Roots. All right. Thank you guys again.
All right, Ken. All right, Mark.
Did you worry about where I'm never met before until I'm overseas on tour. And peep this Ethiopian queen from Philly taking classes abroad. She's studying film and photo flash focus record. Said she working on a flick and cut my click through the score. She said she loved my show in Paris at Elise Momar, and that I stepped off the stage and took a piece of her heart. We knew from the start that things fall apart. Intense and shattered, she like, that shit don't matter when I get home. Get out of through letter phone, whatever, let's link, let's get together. You think not, think the thought went home and forgot. Time passed, we back in Philly, now she up in my spot. Telling me the things I'm telling of is making her hot. Started building with her constantly round the clock. Now she in my world like hip-hop and keep telling me, yeah. I got to be out at the height of the night, and that's when she flip and get on some old.
Another lonely night, seem like I'm on the side. You only love in your mind. I know you gotta get that paper, daddy, keep that shit tight. But yo, I need some sort of love in my life. You dig me? While politicking with my sister from New York City, she says she know this ball player, and he think I'm pretty inside. I'm playing, boo. You know it's just what you want saying, boo. And when cats be popping game, I don't hear what they saying, boo. When you out there in the world, I'm still your girl. With all my classes, I don't have the time for life, girl. So when you sweating on stage, think of me when you rhyme. And don't be listening to your homies, they
yeah, so what you saying, I can trust you.
Is you crazy? You my king for real. But sometimes relationships get ill. No doubt. No doubt.